Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid and all across that Spiz Grizz network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to get to, our third and final, up until 11 a.m. Eastern. Donnie, so much to get to here in this third and final hour. A doubleheader of NBA playoff action. Game sixes in two spots tonight. First in Indy, the Pacers at home, hoping to clinch the series victory against the Milwaukee Bucks. Then we head to Philadelphia for the nightcap. The 76ers hoping to go back to Madison Square Garden for a game seven. The Knicks hoping to close things out tonight. We'll preview both games. We'll look at the Major League Baseball slate. We'll talk some hockey on the ice with Pete Jensen as well. But before we do all of that, we need to hear from the people to start off this third and final hour. Doubleheader of NBA playoff games tonight. What is the best bet? That was the question in Fade the Public. I am intrigued at Sports Grid on Twitter. What is the best bet for tonight's NBA playoff games? The Pacers as an 8.5-point home favorite against the Bucks. Milwaukee as the underdog, more than likely without Giannis or Dame. Philly returns home as a 3-point favorite. Or is it the New York Knicks as the underdog in the city of brotherly love? More than 40% of the public, Donnie, backing New York on the road in Philly. The Knicks, the underdog, the betting public's favorite.
Yeah, you know, it's only two games to go off of here, and I do think there are some anomalies in both of these games. But if we're being honest to myself, game number six, I do look, the Sixers escape the jaws of defeat in game number five. There shouldn't even be a game six. So the Sixers now feeling that relief, like, why can't we do this now? We just pulled off a miracle in the Garden. So the -3 right now, I did vote that way for the Philadelphia 76ers, even though only 27% of the votes are going that way. It's just a devastating look. And still I'm saying, I think the Knicks do win this series, but I think they do win it in seven games. Be a pretty good environment in Philadelphia tonight, but also it is going to matter how Joel Embiid feels. And keep in mind, Maxey was sensational, but so was Brunson here. Joel Embiid did have a triple-double, but he turned the basketball over close to 10 times. I think it was 9 times officially in that game. That's too much. The Sixers didn't play a great game and still were able to win that game in overtime, so I think they can handle their business. Now, the one interesting point tonight is, if you're looking from that Pacers-Bucks series, right? You say go get the Bucks at 8. That's probably hard to give away, but I sort of have that same thought process in the series that we take a look at the Mavericks and the Clippers, Ben. The reason I say that is you got an unbelievable performance by a lot of guys on the Bucks, which I don't think is going to stand up on the road. And even though that number is large at 8 to 8.5, I do think the Pacers really beat down the Bucks tonight. But again, they'd have to win by double digits, and there's a scenario that they can still win and not cover that line. I don't think the Sixers win this game tonight and not able to cover the 3. And if they do, my goodness, is that going to be an unbelievable performance by both teams where you just have your white knuckles the entire way through. But I think the Sixers are the better play tonight, the -3. So I'll fade the public tonight and go with that 27% option.
Listen, only one game in this series so far, and we've seen five already, has been decided by more than double digits. That was game number three, the first in Philadelphia. The 76ers winning 125-114. Every other game has been decided by single digits, and most of them have come down to the wire at some critical juncture. The odds are expecting very much the same tonight. I think the biggest key in this game, Donnie, of course, neither team plays a large rotation. You don't really see that in the playoffs regardless. Philly only played eight guys in game number five. New York even less, just seven. There was a lot of minutes logged into overtime by the superstars. Jalen Brunson, 51 minutes. Tyrese Maxey also played 52 minutes. Joel Embiid played 48. It's such an interesting dichotomy right now with JoJo. Clearly not 100%. Gutting it out. Dealing with migraines. Bell's palsy. The bum knee at this moment. Taking a couple of questionable swipes, though, at New York. But it's for Philadelphia, Donnie. They need Joel Embiid out there. When he is not, the plus minus does not favor Philly. When he is, it works in the favor of the 76ers. But he is not 100%. So you need a guy out there giving it all that he has. Still, the odds makers expect a large offensive night out of Joel Embiid. 30.5 is his point total. Only had 19 in game number five. And I think it's interesting from the total as well, 200 and a hook. You see the final score of game five, 112-106, went over that pregame number of 203, but only did so because of overtime, 97-97 in regulation. If the Knicks closed it out, neither team would have reached 100 in that game. And with some tired legs after only 48 hours of rest and changing venues, not a very far trip, of course, from New York to Philadelphia, I wonder how much fatigue factors in here in game number six.
Oh, it's going to factor in. It really is, because you saw the last two games. Let's take a look at where those unders would have come in, where it's like, man, these teams are really ramping up on defense, and the shooting, quite frankly, isn't getting better on top of it. Three-point shot here. If it's going down early, yes, you're going to be able to score some buckets, but you're now talking about an elimination game after one where the New York Knicks let one slip away, and you're right about that. The game had no business. First of all, the Knicks should have covered that game, should have won that game, and it should have stayed under the total. But once you get to overtime, you add on an extra 20 points. That's going to cover these numbers, because we're not dealing with regular season 235 and a half here. 200 is extremely low, but that only dictates the pace that you're going to get. And we've talked about this point of analysis earlier, Ben. Earlier games in the series, yes, it's competitive. You want to win every game, but if you lose, there is a tomorrow for both teams here. Now you're at this the stage in the game where if you lose, one of these teams is going home, which would be the Philadelphia 76ers. So every single run out, every single fast break here means something, because you get a lot more of those, Ben, in the regular season than you do in the playoffs. The playoffs is a half-court game, and if they're not going to blow the whistles on some of these fouls, it's probably going to be hard to score. As low as that number is, you take a look at last night. Hey, Celtics easily went over. No, they didn't. They went over by a bucket at that point. I'm not saying one team's going to score 83 or 84 points tonight. No, but I look for the same type of game flow that we just saw in games four and also games five, repeating itself in game six. Even though that number is extremely low, I look towards the under in this environment too.
Listen, it's going to be a sweat, to Donnie's point. We're probably not going to see an 88-83 basketball game tonight. You really don't have a lot of margin of wiggle room when you have an under of 200 and a hook, because if one team gets to the century mark, you're getting close to danger of the total pushing to the over. My favorite bet in this game, Deuce McBride. His points prop is 9.5, a number he has gone over in three of the five. Double digits, at least 13 points in three of those five. Never less than 8 points in this series. I would love his three-point prop. It's not available out yet for Deuce McBride. You heard JY mention he might start tonight for the New York Knicks. 33 minutes off the bench in game number five, scored 14 points. As we look at the other game, DRS, Indiana now an 8.5-point favorite against Milwaukee. That, of course, that line is an indication that Giannis, despite getting closer to playing, is not expected to go tonight in Indy, nor is Damian Lillard. But my favorite bet, We asked what the best bet is for tonight's NBA playoff games, just with the sides and the spreads. My best bet is the over 214 tonight in Indianapolis. If the Pacers are going to win, the total is going over. And at 214, it's the lowest number we have seen so far in this series. All three wins for Indiana. The total has gone over. All three wins for the Pacers. They have scored at least 120.
Yeah, it's going to come down to their three-point shooting. They chucked up 38 three-point shots on the road last effort against the Bucks, only made 12 of those, and Halliburton made 4 of those 12 three-point shots. So Turner probably going to light it up from three-point range, and I think Halliburton back into the series offensively. Those would be the two guys that I would look at for three-point props in that game. But I agree with you. Unlike we're talking about Philadelphia and New York, which I think is going to be a slower tempo slugfest here, I think we do get some offense in that Milwaukee Bucks-Indiana Pacers game tonight.
Now we go to the bigs. It is the month of March, if you did not know. Where are the MVP markets around Major League Baseball? We'll have our MLB insider, Craig Mish, lay it out and then start to take an early look at the small slate of games around the bigs on this Thursday. That's next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line, a smaller slate in Major League Baseball. A ton of teams around the bigs have the day off, or we get some day baseball on getaway day Thursday. So maybe we'll go big picture here to start off May. We do that with our MLB insider, the host of Newswire, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time, Craig Mish. Thank you for joining us here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid.
Yeah, it's an unusual slate, Ben. I mean, I guess today was the day Major League Baseball sort of said, let's give the majority of the league the day off. So that means the evening slate, pretty light, afternoon slate, pretty light. And naturally, it is a good time to sort of take a look ahead as what could be over the rest of the season.
So we are now here in May. We go individual, and first, Craig, we start with the NL MVP odds. Mookie Betts is off to an insane start this year for the LA Dodgers, and that strong start is reflected in his number to win the National League MVP award. Plus 145 for Mookie. His teammate in Shohei Ohtani has the second best number, but it's all the way back at 10-1, over $8.50 behind Mookie Betts. Craig, it's a short number. Is Mookie Betts deserving of such a short price to win NL MVP only the first 2 days into May?
Yeah, I mean, look, Ben, his numbers dictate the fact that he should be a short favorite because the books certainly have to protect themselves. But look, we're not rooting for injuries. It's part of the game. You never know when a player at the top, something could potentially happen. And so I'm generally someone that likes to look a little bit deeper on the board. Now, the two players that are interesting to me as far as the MVP is concerned is, has Ronald Acuna Jr. sort of played his way out of it in 1 month? I don't think so, but obviously this is not the season this year that he's having last year. And conversely, the other question I think that you would have to ask yourself is, if Ellie De La Cruz was a little bit higher on the board to start the season, I mean, Ben, where would he be right now? Because his numbers are basically off the charts. He has more stolen bases than I think a dozen teams in Major League Baseball. So you could be looking at a Corbin Carroll-esque type year from Ellie De La Cruz. So that, you know, it was a name we talked about last week, and I think we got to do it again this week, because if he continues this pace, I mean, maybe stealing 100 bases in a Major League Baseball season with 20 or 30 home runs, I mean, that would have to be considered. But again, an uphill battle to beat one of those Dodgers guys.
It's going to be crazy, too, to look at, because Mookie Betts on the season right now hitting .377, second to actually Alec Bohm in the National League at .362. Yeah, right. Also, by the way, Alec Bohm, 30 RBI this year, second only to Marcell Ozuna, from a guy that said he hated the city of Philadelphia, certainly loving it right now. But let's focus on Mookie Betts and the season that he can have this season. He has been unbelievable, and as a leadoff batter, as we know, you're going to get much more bats than anybody that's batting fourth, fifth, or sixth in the lineup. Sustainability on .377. We don't think it's going to be there. But is it legitimate to think here, Craig, that a leadoff batter Mookie Betts can hit four power with RBI and hit .350 plus this season?
Yeah, why not? He's one of the best players in baseball. He's on a very short list, Donnie, of players that you can project to be potential Hall of Famers that are playing right now. That's really hard to do. in this day and age with players just simply getting a lot of days off and with these pitchers going down like crazy. So, I would say so. I mean, 350, that's a big number there. And I think the only player last year you would have thought that could hit that number would be Luis Arraez, if you believe it or not. A year ago, I think he was hitting 400 at this time last year. So, without the power, obviously, without the runs driven in. But look, Mookie Betts is going to have a lot of juicy matchups over the course of the season. Still going to play at Coors Field a lot. Still going to play in the NL West. So he has to be the favorite. But for me, I guess I would ask the question on the MVP odds, Donnie, is why take the risk? Why not just take a little bit of a deeper shot? Not root against Betts getting hurt or something like that, but it's just you're getting better. I mean, I hate to say value, but you're getting a better chance at a long shot as opposed to just taking a favorite where certainly anything can go a different way than we think.
Mookie Betts leads the bigs with that batting average at .377, most hits in all of MLB at 49. The Dodgers have played a few more games than everybody else because of the start in Seoul, South Korea. But still, the numbers for Mookie Betts, ridiculous. Craig, out to the American League, there's only three guys with a three-digit price, not just one like in the NL with Mookie Betts. And maybe it's a little bit more competitive. Juan Soto is the favorite at +230. Gunnar Henderson, only 22 years old, +370. And Bobby Witt Jr. has backed up the $280 million deal with a very strong start in 2024. So three guys at +430 or shorter. How tightly contested do you expect the race to be for the American League MVP award this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of stunning to think where you could have got Gunnar Henderson at the beginning of the season as to where he is now. You know, this is one of those Yankee bias situations where you have to wonder if Juan Soto at the end of the season gets his team to the postseason. Will they reward him not just for his own performance, but for getting the Yankees back where they're used to being? But look, for me, I really, really like Bobby Witt Jr. I don't think that you can discount what he's done for the Kansas City Royals. If they get there in the end, Ben, I mean, I'm talking wild card. Like, if the Kansas City Royals, after all of these years since they won that World Series, get themselves back there, Witt is going to be the predominant reason. So for me, I know it's tight, but if it was one player that I had to take right now amongst the three, it's a very tight race. By the way, I think it'll be one of those three. I would take Witt. Mm.
By the way, today on the Diamond, we're having a very good series here in the AL East. That's the Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles. You also saw yesterday the Yankees getting on the board in this series, but now we have the final game today. Rodon versus Bradish, two left-handed pitchers on the mound. A de facto pick'em at the FanDuel Sportsbook and a total listed at 9. Are the Yanks able to even up today, Craig, in your mind?
You know, maybe so. It's an afternoon game. Anytime you get these early starts on the East Coast, I look at it the same way. Is it generally, I don't handicap them. I just look at the lineups, who they announced. And this is a great way where the invention of live betting really comes into play because you just don't know how these teams are going to approach these games, even in May. If you watch the game early on and you see everyone swinging at the first pitch, you just go under as fast as you can because you know they just want to get out of there. If you see the Yankees being patient, taking a little more seriously, I mean, you may think, hey, these guys take every game very seriously. Yes, they do. But not every game is played the same way. So look at it live, I would say, for the sort of flow as to how things go.
The O's trying to win the series 3-1. We have seen all three games so far stay under this total of 9. Craig Mish, we appreciate the time. We'll see you on Newswire in just about 40 minutes. More Major League Baseball plays for the small slate up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line. Only a 6-game slate in Major League Baseball today. We previewed the first, maybe the biggest one in Baltimore. The Orioles looking for the series win over the Yanks. New York trying to win the last two to split the 4-game set. Now we go to Houston. The Astros had won 3 straight games before yesterday against the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians bounced back thanks to Stephen Kwan in 10 innings. The finale of 3 this week in H-Town. The Astros in the only game played following 6 p.m. Eastern time host the Guardians, -134 in favor of the Astros. Over under is 9. Before Craig left, he said the starter today for Houston is one of the worst pitchers in the AL. Will we see that today in H-Town?
Yeah, Arrighetti's certainly not that good. You take a look at his combined weighted on base percentage between lefty and righty batters, it's a 412, which is extremely high. He's a right-handed pitcher. Now, there's somewhat of a interesting lineup that we're going to see from the Guardians tonight. How about this? Typically, you're littered in the lineup. Like, okay, it's a right-handed pitcher. You put a couple lefties in the lineup. And we don't know the official lineups because this game is not going to take place until 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. But we are expecting only one right-handed batter to be in the lineup, and that's Tyler Freeman. So if you include lefties and switch hitters here, 8 guys from the left side. Having said that, if we're lining up where the pitcher struggles in Arrighetti, I just told you he struggles basically on both sides of the plate. To lefties, he does have a 341 weighted on base percentage, which is only slightly elevated, an ISO power number to lefties at an 048, so it doesn't really fit there. Take a look at the 31 batters he's faced from the right-hand side, Ben. A 179 number at ISO power number, which is just slightly elevated, but a 475 weighted on base percentage. So just based on the early season returns on Spencer Arrighetti, it's probably best to actually have more right-handed batters in that lineup than lefties, but you're always going to play the percentages here. It's smart to add up those lefties, even if the numbers technically aren't making sense for this. It's a shame, because if those numbers were reversed, Ben,
yeah,
boy, oh boy, you might have a party with the Guardians tonight.
DRS, the controversial ending last night at Citi Field between the Mets and the Cubs. Chicago wins 1-0. Series finale today between the Amazons and the Cubbies. Supposed to be very warm at Citi Field, around 85 degrees in the New York City area on this Thursday afternoon. It's a virtual pick'em. The Amazons, a slight favorite at -112. Who wins the last game of this set in Queens?
Let's take a look at the pitching matchup here. Now, again, it is a very short card. There's only 6 pitchers that have pitched this season 20 innings or more here going. Number one on the card today, how about this? Ben Brown at an XFIP number of 91. Worst pitcher on the card today coming in at number 6 overall, that's Adrian Hauser at a 149. Now, having said that, yesterday, we had a pitcher on the mound in Tristan McKenzie who was close to a 150 XFIP minus, which is absolute disaster territory. He was just fine. So sometimes these things work their way out. But if we're just looking from a pitching matchup, you're gonna have to give it once again to the Chicago Cubs. Not a great looks in the lineups overall between both of these ball clubs, but again, we're not really fading Ben Brown in this spot. It's going to be more of looking towards going up against Hauser and those left-handed batters in the lineup, Michael Busch, and also Mike Talkman will be legitimate RBI options for the Chicago Cubs, who I also would back the Chicago Cubs today just based on the limited statistics that we have for both of these pitchers, Ben.
The Rangers blanked yesterday. Trevor Williams, the first starting pitcher in Major League Baseball in the last 50 years to work a scoreless outing, but yet face the bases loaded twice with no outs both times. But still, the Nationals win 1-0 in Arlington. Can the Rangers bounce back? Expected to with Nathan Eovaldi on the bump, -215, that money line number.
They are. It's not a great hitting lineup here for the Washington Nationals. Well, let's flip it over to the other side. Mitchell Parker has faced 62 batters this year for the Washington Nationals. Get this. ISO power number, 017 against them combined. Weighted on base percentage, 215 combined. So instead of picking a side with that heavy number, if you just expect the Rangers to roll, I'm probably looking more or less of an under today as opposed to a side in this one.
Rangers team total 4.5 for what it is worth. The Boston Red Sox playing really good baseball right now. Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford, the aces of that staff. A pick 'em at Fenway between the Sox and the Giants today. -110. Boston slightly the favored side. Who wins?
Yeah, Winkowski's been decent on the season here for the Sox, but let's go ahead and take a look at the San Francisco Giants starting pitcher, Kyle Harrison, struggling a little bit with right-handed batters. He's a left-handed pitcher. Tyler O'Neill in the season, the right-handed batter for the Red Sox, 350 ISO power number coupled with a 507 weighted on base percentage. That's probably the RBI guy in the lineup today for me for the Red Sox.
The Sox have won both games in this series looking for the sweep. Now 5 games above 500. The Marlins take on the Rockies, the 2 worst teams in the National League. How bad are the Rocks? The Marlins have won both games so far in this set and a -166 favorite today. To the ice we go. Stanley Cup playoff talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line, only one game on the ice in the National Hockey League tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but a doubleheader last night. One clinch out up in Edmonton, and somebody finally wins on home ice in Dallas between the Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights. For everything you need to know around the Stanley Cup postseason, we are very pleased to welcome on the NHL's Pete Jensen. Pete, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on this Thursday on TEL.
Of course, guys, anytime. This is the best time of year in hockey, right? No question about it. And I would expect at least a couple of game sevens here with the way that the Nashville series is trending. I know Nashville blew that one game, but I still feel pretty confident they could finally win a home game in game six on Friday night. And then I picked Vegas to beat Dallas in seven. I'll at least stick with the seven prediction. I expect Vegas to bounce back and put forth a great effort in their next game against the Stars after they finally held serve.
We'll talk about how that series has played out in just a moment. But first, Pete, we go to game number five last night in Edmonton. Exciting times for the Oilers. For the third consecutive NHL postseason, the Oilers close out the Kings, this time in five games. 4-3 the victory last night for Edmonton, holding on in that third and final period. So the Oilers win this series in five games. Pete, so far for Edmonton, have they looked like a true cup contender in this Stanley Cup postseason to you?
I would say that the best look for them is to take care of business early. They didn't fall behind in the series at any point. I know they had the one blip in overtime at home in game two, but this is an opportunity for them to take advantage of a great path, right? Even the next round, they're going to play the winner of Nashville and Vancouver. They're dodging Dallas and Vegas. Whoever wins that, you know, clash of the Titans on the one side of the bracket, they're avoiding that team and Colorado until the third round. Not to look too far ahead, but a quick series victory, especially with how the Kings have, you know, played them tough the previous 2 years, may be the best thing for Edmonton big picture here.
Let's take a look big picture on Edmonton as well. Sometimes in the playoffs, you only go as far as some of your superstar players take you here. You take a look at Connor McDavid, 12 points in five games, had 100 assists in the regular season, two more assists last night, and a plus two. Moving forward with Connor McDavid, is he the guy that can help the Edmonton Oilers lift the cup? And does he need to play like this on a night-to-night basis for Edmonton to do that, Pete?
Yeah, he needs to keep this up. Leon Draisaitl, same thing. You look at those guys historically, it's crazy. They have like very close to the same points per game average in the playoffs for their careers. We know that they need more help around them, and I think they have it this year with guys like Matthias Ekholm playing the best hockey of his career. They acquired Adam Henrique before the deadline. There was that one injury concern with Evander Kane, but he's had a couple of big moments in the first round. One of the first games in LA, he had a huge performance game three, and then also scored last night. So I feel like Edmonton, and then they have the high danger king, NHL leader in the regular season in high danger goals and high danger shots on goal is Zach Hyman. So I feel like they have the most robust profile that they've ever had in the McDavid Drysdale era. The big question is Stuart Skinner good enough to carry them on a deep run? Remains to be seen on that front.
Look at the numbers for Connor McDavid last night. Anytime point, minus 700. Two plus points, minus 142. McDavid cashes both of those tickets last night. Now, Pete, we go to Dallas. Finally, somebody in this series, it only took five games, holds serve on home ice. How were the Stars finally able to say, we're the first team in this set to win at home?
Well, they responded early when Vegas scored. They got the crowd into it. Of course, the crowd was really fired up. They were pretty ticked off when that Petrangelo penalty got rescinded from a five-minute major to only a two-minute penalty. But that was the game-deciding goal anyway on the power play by Jason Robertson. So I feel like Dallas kind of having their chip on their shoulder. The big thing for them is 5-on-5 play against the Golden Knights. This year, they're leading them by 2 goals at 5-on-5 in the series. Last year, if you remember, Western Conference Final, they got dominated by the Golden Knights at 5-on-5. They lost that battle 18-8. So they've closed the gap with their depth additions, Matt Duchene in the offseason, and the rookie Logan Stankoven with a huge, massive assist to tie the game yesterday for Dallas in the first period.
Pete, updated Western Conference Finals odds here to be the winner. The Edmonton Oilers sit there at a plus 190 price, the Avalanche plus 240, the Stars at plus 280, and the Canucks at 7-1. So four teams under 10-1, followed up by the Golden Knights at 19-1 and the Predators at 25-1. How are we looking at this new look here with the Oilers at that plus 190 price?
Yeah, I picked them to win the cup in the preseason. Again, I still have some concerns. Like, to me, Colorado, the way they dismantled Winnipeg, I was really big on Winnipeg and their structure and their goaltending. Connor Hellebuck's probably going to win the Vezina Trophy, but he gave up 5-plus goals in all 5 games against the Jets and lost 4 straight. Pretty mind-boggling stuff there. To me, Colorado, regardless of who they play, they lost to Dallas in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And then the year before they won the cup, remember they lost, I think, 4 straight to the Golden Knights and kind of fell apart at the seams. So they'll have extra motivation regardless of who they play. And I think whichever team comes out of the Vegas-Dallas series might be limping a bit because that's going to be a battle. So Colorado, to me, based on what I've seen, might be the best team in the whole league. But we'll see if their depth stands up.
And to Pete's point, Edmonton is on the other side of the Western Conference bracket. They get the winner of the Preds and the Canucks, game number 6, back in Smashville tomorrow night. You see 3 of the 4 best prices outside of Edmonton from the other side. The Avs, the Stars, and the reigning champs, the Golden Knights. Pete, only one game on this Thursday on the ice, but it's a huge one. Game number 6. Now back in Toronto. Game number 5 inside TD Garden. The Boston Bruins had the opportunity to clinch this opening round series against Toronto. And without Austin Matthews. There we go. Without Austin Matthews in game 5, Connor, the Bruins unable to seal the deal. Now we go back to Toronto. The Leafs, a very slight favorite on home ice. Will the Maple Leafs force game 7 tonight with a victory over Boston?
My pre-series pick was Bruins in 7. The Bruins always seem to get the job done against Toronto, historically speaking. But what happened in game 5 was something special for Toronto. And if Matthews comes back, they have a real chance with this game 6 being at home and some of the recent skeletons in the closet for the Bruins in some of these big games. Last year, you can't forget it, right? Losing 3 straight as the President's Trophy winner to the Florida Panthers. They have a scare in them right now, and they have 2 goalies to choose from. So you choose wrong, then you choose wrong the next night. It can become a nightmare. I'll still stick with the Bruins for my series prediction, but Toronto just made this thing really interesting. And, of course, all eyes are on whether Matthews plays in the remainder of the series.
Pete, Carolina Hurricanes, plus 185 price here in the East, are the favorites, followed by the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers. What gives, and you're still sticking with those Hurricanes now?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can match what the Rangers do on the power play. We know that's the Rangers' strength, but Carolina has some guns, too, with Aho and Svechnikov and Jake Gensel's a proven playoff performer, so that's a wash to me. The Hurricanes should dominate possession like they always do at 5-on-5 and outscore the Rangers in that series. But again, it comes down to the clutch goals. The Rangers have had that comeback gene all season long and a couple of years ago beat the Canes in the playoffs. I will pick the Carolina Hurricanes in 7 for that one. But we'll see. Maybe they'll steal a game 7 on the road at the Garden. That'll be a tough place to play.
Certainly would be a raucous environment. Pete Jensen from the NHL, we appreciate the time as always. Back to the doubleheader in the NBA playoff previews next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is why you watch the early line. This is why you come to the Spiz Grizz Network. For nights like tonight, a doubleheader of game number sixes in the NBA postseason. And the reason you're here on TEL is because the two premier NBA handicappers on this network preview both of the games that we have. Clinching scenarios, of course, in both spots. One team on the road trying to win a series. The other team returns home after a dismal effort in game number five. We start with the nightcap. Yes, in Philadelphia, it's the nightcap of the two that we will see tonight. So, Donnie, before the odds, this is your time, your soapbox. 9 p.m. Eastern time tip in Philadelphia. How come?
That doesn't make any sense. I don't, because again, the NBA must be a Ponzi scheme that says, you know what? We just can't have too many people enjoy this product, particularly in their home cities. Like, you might have the argument against, like, well, hey, you got to cater to the people out there in Golden State when their team is at home. That's why they play at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Nonsense. It's the East Coast here at this point. This is when people should be able to go. Children should be able to enjoy this game. It's not a Friday or Saturday night here. There's no reason to believe that this game is a 9 p.m. tip in Philadelphia. It's ridiculous that that's taking place. Just ridiculous.
It really is. 6:30 p.m. Eastern time is the tip out in Indianapolis. As some of us learned today, Indy is actually in the Eastern time zone and not Central. Anyway, we go to the odds now to break down and preview these games and give you some advantages and edges. So the game in Philadelphia. So the Sixers trying to force a game seven back in Madison Square Garden on Saturday. The Knicks were up by six in the final 30 seconds of game five, unable to close out the series and that game with a victory. Can they do so on the road? They did win in Philly in game number four. But the 76ers, a slight home favorite, laying 3 points. Minimal over-under, now at 200 and a hook. DRS, how do you break down the matchup between the 76ers and the Knicks?
I think the Sixers win this game, but again, it's going to be predicated on Joel Embiid giving you an honest effort tonight, being healthy enough to play 35-plus minutes, which I think he will do that. But from the attack standpoint, I think the Sixers win and cover the three-point number. That total is so low, there's very small margin for error, even though I do think it stays under. But if we're looking from a points prop perspective and you think the game stays under, most of the time you're looking for unders. To be honest, Joel Embiid already dropped a 50-point game in this series, right? So you take a look and he did that at home. Can he get the 30? Of course. That's always the number we look at. But to be honest, I'm actually looking forward to him under 30.5 points if I was betting that number. There's just way too many things in a game that's under 200. There's only so many points to go around. Now, it might be contradictory to say this, but Jalen Brunson's 32.5. Where else are you going with the New York Knicks? If you know right now he's going to shoot 25-plus times at a minimum, would you not just level the boom on Jalen Brunson every single time he plays? You just factor him out. He's going to get to the free throw line. Some of those will be three-point shots. And let's just say he makes 45% of his shots, which would be normal. He should be able to get to 33-plus points tonight. So the other guy you'd also look at is the Philadelphia 76ers' Tyrese Maxey. If you're saying to yourself, where are the points coming from tonight if we're sitting around 200? It's Brunson and Maxey. Both of those guys are going to be the centerpieces. Now, I heard you and Coach talking about a little bit earlier, and I think this guy probably makes the most sense as a secondary option. It is Miles McBride. When he comes in the game, he's a microwave out there. Gets his shot off. It looks good. He can knock down the three-point shot. Typically in that scenario, I'd say I like Dante DiVincenzo, but he's been invisible and terrible from the three-point line in this series, I believe, outside of game number one. So his 11.5, I actually take the under because that probably means he's got to make at least 3 3-point shots, which is something he's been struggling with. So from a points perspective, Embiid to the under, Maxey to the over, Brunson to the over, and also Miles McBride. I think he can get double digits tonight.
DRS, I would love if they put up a field goal attempts prop for Jalen Brunson, like a quarterback pass attempt prop during the NFL season. You said if he shoots at least 25 times, he's going to. He has shot at least 26 times from the floor in all five games. The last three, he has been up and over 30 attempts, at least in games four and game five. If that's going to be the case and he gets to the foul line, 33.5 is probably not enough. He had 40 in game number five. Of course, 46 for Tyrese Maxey in game five. His points prop 26.5. 30.5 is the number for Joel Embiid. there is still so much expected of him, but it's clear JoJo's not 100% fit at this moment. Only 19 points even in OT, despite playing 48 minutes in game number 5. And I really do think fatigue is a factor on both sides. Yeah. Brunson played 51 minutes. Maxey played 52 minutes, only 48 hours off. Not a ton of travel, of course, down the Amtrak to Philadelphia, but still, I think fatigue could factor in tonight. And to your final point about the man known as Deuce, Miles McBride, 9.5 is the points prop, a number he has been over with at least 13 in 3 of the 5 games. Never less than 8 points scored for McBride in any of the five games in this series. He is also favored, minus 185, to make 2+3s. So just follow that there. If he hits 2 threes, that's 6 points. Can he get 4 more to go over 9.5? I think that's a really good bet for tonight's game number 6 back in Philadelphia. 200.5 is the total. Game five did go over, but because of overtime, both games 4 and 5 would have stayed under if we only had regulation. I really do think at 200.5, total stays under tonight. I'm just not sure I'm going to bet it because there's not a lot of margin to stay under if a team approaches 100.
And again, that's the simple point of this. They're professional players here with some very good scores, but it is a playoff atmosphere. It's getting up there in the series, but there's no margin of error. Even if you take a look at the secondary game there, the Bucks and the Pacers, that's a 214. Yeah. That's still really low, but there's a better margin of error. If you have one team on pace for 100 points, 52-48.5, not a great scoring game. Huh? Right on pace to hit that total. And also, in a close game, which we're expecting at a -3, what can always happen? Didn't you watch game number 5? Heads to overtime. You're never going to have that margin of error big enough at 200 to get to an overtime game and still stay under in the NBA.
DRS, I bet the under of 202 for Orlando and Cleveland in game 5. It was 75-70 at the end of third. Live total was 194.5. I'm right on pace. Cleveland scored 33 in that fourth quarter. It was a high scoring fourth quarter, and thus we came nowhere close just because of where things were. Orlando scored 33, by the way. They lost by 1. We'll get to the other game tonight in Indianapolis between the Pacers and the Bucks up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listen, I got to be honest with our viewers out there. I've got a case of the hiccups right now, so I hope I can power through. See, there it is. Hope I can power through this final segment to preview game number 6 tonight in Indianapolis. The Pacers had a great opportunity in game number 5 to close out Milwaukee. No Giannis, no Dame. Even inside the Pfizer Forum, they failed to do that, scoring just 92 points. All 5 stars. Take it, DRS.
I don't want to take it. Let's hear this out. Come on, keep talking. This is good stuff here. This is the stuff that goes viral right now, not who we actually care about on the Bucks and the Pacers. So keep going. Let's see what you got.
I'll take it. All right. So all 5 starters for the Bucks scored in double figures, a balanced effort without Giannis and no Dame. Big game BP. Chris Middleton each pour in 29 points. Milwaukee won game 5, 115-92, to keep this series and their season alive. But the 8.5-point spread tonight in Indy, pretty strong indication, DRS. We don't expect to see Giannis Antetokounmpo or Damian Lillard tonight in Indianapolis.
There you go. Ben just fought through adversity got through and set up the topic that he needed to get to, which means that the Bucks and the Pacers, one team is going to at least face adversity tonight, and you know that's going to be the Bucks. If you are the Pacers, who basically did not show up in the last game, in a game you should have put away the Milwaukee Bucks because you knew you had game 6 in your own building, you better win this game going away. This line opened up at 9.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, now down to 8.5, a clear indication that we're not expecting, obviously, Giannis and or Dame Lillard to come back for this game. So all the chips to the center of the table for the Pacers. And you know what? You look at that line and say, that's ridiculous. I don't think so. I think the Pacers are the better team here. And also, using the guys, Ben, as we talked about, for that Mavericks-Clippers series, you need a perfect game for the Bucks to stay in this one and win. Yeah. I don't think they can do that on the road. I look for a great performance out of Halliburton and also Turner in this game to carry them. I think there's a legitimate chance that the Pacers do win by double digits and, of course, get the winning cover tonight and move on into round number 2.
Chris Middleton, his points prop 26.5. Big game BP, Bobby Portis, 22.5. The over, even money at plus 100. I'll give you my best bet in this game when we give you our best bets overall. But it does bear repeating that in all three victories for Indiana in this series, they have scored at least 120 points. Sure, game number three, they got to 121, albeit because of overtime to push us to the over. But it's been Indiana style all season long. Up tempo, fast paced, defense be damned. We're going to score more than you do. All three victories, the total has hit the over. And this over-under tonight in Indy for game number six at 214 is the lowest we have seen. So before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it is time for a best bet on this Thursday night. It is time for bye-bye-bye. Listen, I think you put me on the spot, DRS, and you scared the hiccups right out of me perfectly in time to give you a best bet on this Thursday. Short Major League Baseball slate, only one game in the Stanley Cup postseason, but a doubleheader in the NBA playoffs. What gets your attention?
I rarely do this, but we're going to go with a game with the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks, but we're going to do a parlay, and it's a player points prop parlay.
Wow.
It's two guys, secondary options. Miles McBride to go over 9.5 points at a minus 120 price, and also, boom, boom, Nick Batum of the Philadelphia 76ers to go over 4.5 points. You parlay those two together, it's a plus 197 price. We're getting both of these, Ben, in the first half. Let's lock it up tonight and enjoy this game. Because why? I won't be up after the half tonight. So we got to clinch this early.
Listen, Nicholas Batum, huge game off the bench. Not huge, but he had 8 points.
Eight.
He was the bench leading scorer for Philadelphia. Wow. He took 6 threes, though. He was 2 of 6 from three.
See?
If that happens again, he's over that points prop of 4.5. My favorite bet in that game is also the secondary option for the New York Knicks, Deuce McBride, over 9.5, a number he has been over with at least 13 scored when he goes over in 3 of the 5 in this series. But my best bet for the doubleheader of NBA playoff action tonight, Pacers, Bucks. Game total over 214. Indiana's team total is 111.5. If Indiana is going to win, and the odds expect that to be the case, the Pacers laying 8.5, the total goes over. All three wins for the Pacers in this series. They have scored 120, and the game total has gone over as well. 214, the lowest we have seen in this series so far between the Bucks and the Pacers, as Indiana looks to take advantage in Indy to close out this series in only 6 games against the Milwaukee Bucks. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more edition of the Early Line this week. Tomorrow on a Friday, it starts at 8 a.m. Eastern time here on Sports Grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.